Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14, where we see that peace is something that the Bible speaks a lot about. But in today's study, Pastor Dave teaches us how we need to chase after, pursue, and grow in peace through loving others. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12, verse 14.
With everybody. You think that way? I'll just be honest with you. I don't always think this way. Okay? Listen to this. The NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version. I still use it, though. It's a good translation here. It goes like this because it's convicting. Watch. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. To live in peace with everyone. Your next door neighbor who's so difficult. Your unbelieving girlfriend that you were dating before you got saved, and now you've gotten saved and you're trying to figure out how to lead her or your boyfriend lead him to Christ, and how to try to get yourself out of the circumstance that you're in if God's not going to save them. And you're trying to, everyone, like all the situations that are weird and uncomfortable and strange. This is the idea here. Listen to what the ESV says. Strive for peace with everyone. Strive for peace with everyone. And I like how one translation renders it. Work at getting along with each other. This is to adults. This is to adults. We got to work, we got to strive, we got to be ambitious, we got to make every effort. We got to do it continuously, not just, well, I did it yesterday on the 4th of July, and, I was at a party with people maybe that I don't necessarily jive with or really get along. So I did it yesterday, so today, man, I'm just not going to do it. No, we got to do it every single time there's an opportunity to be around other people. So when we gather back together next Sunday, what do we got to do? We got to love our neighbors. Isn't that amazing? You see the two commandments right here, don't you? Love your neighbors and love God. Live peaceably with all men and be holy before God. For without such, no man can see the Lord. You see, I see commandment one, I see commandment two. Hey, teacher, what are the greatest commandments in the law? Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Be holy. And you should love your neighbor. How do I got to love him? As yourself. Live in peace. March 20th, 4 months ago almost, I made a video announcement saying church is canceled, opening it to the public. We're about to enter into something that's unprecedented, and we're all rookies at this. We got no clue what we're up against, and hopefully it's only for a few weeks, and we'll be back together by Easter. Now the 4th of July just happened, and next week will have been 17 weeks since the last time God's house was filled with his people here. And what did I say to you in that video? I said that the whole ambition behind what we're doing is that we might love our neighbors. The last Sunday before the doors open again and God's people come back into his house, I'm saying to you all over again, God wants me to say, love your neighbors. Live at peace. When we're around each other next Sunday, we'll use this for just a moment, and this guy over here thinks the whole thing was just blown out of proportion and a conspiracy and it's a political thing and this and that, and this guy over here has got a mask on and doesn't want you anywhere near him, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what our natural tendency to do is just like one junior high. Find people who think like you do and ostracize the person who doesn't and mock them and laugh at them and make sport of them. And the Bible is exhorting you and I today. It's not a point that I would seek in my natural to belabor, but the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to you about it. That we're going to live in peace. So if this person thinks it's the scariest thing in the world and a second wind might come and they're paranoid and this person thinks it's a joke and I'm not going to wear a mask and they're going to wear it down, we got to figure this thing out. Because no man's going to see the Lord if we're constantly contentious with each other. It's so funny because everyone's like, all right, I get it. Keep going. Get along. No, we don't get it. We just don't get it. I'm watching. We don't get it. Holy Spirit, show me. We don't get it. We're nasty to each other. We're harsh toward each other. We're insulting toward each other. We're divisive with each other. Hey, remember Jesus? Remember this? Over there in Samaria, these people were preaching in your name, using your name. You want us to call down thunder, fire, and smoke them? Lord says, no. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're on the same side. There's no division. Remember, Paul had to write to the church in Corinth. Hey, some of you, I'm hearing about this. You're saying I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul. You think that like we're all these different sects, like we're on different teams going against each other. We're all on the same team. Some water, some seed, some bring the sunlight. But it's God who brings the harvest. What are we doing? And if we're dissembling, and if we're antagonizing, and if we're warring with each other, no one sees Jesus. So chill, calm down, slow your roll. The picture's bigger than just you and you knowing everything and being some keyboard warrior in your basement or wherever you are, in your bedroom, texting and blowing up, you know, social media with all of your ideas as though you know everything. Nobody knows anything. The more we know, the less we know. We know God, though, and we know what his word says. And if we didn't know, now we know. And it's saying you're just supposed to be living at peace. Live at peace with Democrats. Live at peace with Republicans. Live at peace with black people. Live at peace with white people. Because there's something at risk here. Here's what's the underlying issue. People can't see the Lord. You want that to be because of you? Isn't that heavy? Do I want to come up here and use my platform? I got a platform, so do you. I got a platform, so do you. I should be seeking to use my platform. This is my public platform, but I got other platforms too. I'm a neighbor, so I got a platform in my neighborhood. I'm a father. I'm a husband, so I got a platform in my home. I'm a brother, so I got a platform with my family. I'm a brother-in-law, so I got a platform with my wife's family. I'm a friend. See what I'm saying? I'm an uncle. I got platforms, so do you. Y'all got platforms. Your workplaces, your sports team, you got platforms. Whoever you are, young people, old people, everybody's got a platform. And I'm seeing a lot of people use their platform to promote their own agenda or what they think's pressing. The Bible says, here's what I got to promote, peace. I got to live in peace with all, because what's at risk is people not seeing Jesus. Christians got to care. Write it down. Christians got to care. We got to care. I got to think to myself, what is this going to do? Is this going to be edifying? Is this going to be building up? Is this going to be encouraging, exhorting, or is this going to be tearing down? Is this going to be an opportunity for the enemy to make mockery at the church and say, these two that are fighting on Facebook think I'm going to go to their church? They're nasty to each other. They're divisive with each other. They're tearing each other down. I don't even see the people that I know out in the world treat each other this way. And they think that I'm going to have interest in their God. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be a stepping stone. You shouldn't want to be a stumbling block. You should want to be a stepping stone. Is this making peace? Is this going to make peace? Is this going to make peace? He's the Prince of Peace. He cares about peace. For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. So maybe you're thinking right now, if your mind is analytical like my mind is, this is why I'm going to make my next point. I right away go like this then. So if I'm pretending I'm in the seats or on the couch streaming right now, I go like this. So you're saying I should make peace? Because I know how people think. We want loopholes. So you're saying I should make peace at all costs? Nope. I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit is brilliant. He's genius because he goes like this. Follow peace and, go ahead, it's open book test. Holiness. Isn't that crazy? He couples peace with holiness. I'm not going to compromise my holiness to have peace. That's where I draw the line. That's imperative that you get that. Some Christians think, okay, so if I sign up to be a Christian, I got to sort of be a doormat and get walked on. I can't have any ideas. I can't have any opinions. I can't have my own identity. My identity is Christ. I no longer have it. You know, I got to wear a jean skirt down to my ankles and a bonnet over my head and carry a big Bible, and I got to be this way and very uniform. That's not how it is at all. You get to be your sanctified self. You get to be whoever you are, your antics, your isms. You be you. I'll be me. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. It's beautiful. It's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ. But there are some things that are black and white in Scripture, and they're not negotiables. This is one of them. Live in peace with everybody as much as possible, as Paul says in other places, with all men. But the line is drawn when holiness is compromised. So I'm not going to agree with you, or I'm not going to nod my head to you and just be silent before you. In my race that I'm running, looking unto Jesus, I'm trying to let you see Jesus in and through me as I'm running toward Jesus. That's part of my course. It's part of your course too. And where I'm going to draw the line in living in peace with people, not that I'm seeking to not, but here's where I'm going to say, no, that's enough, enough, is when it compromises my holiness. Here's why. Because if my holiness is compromised, now I can't see the Lord. And if I can't see the Lord, I can't stay the course. Remember the author said, you got to look unto Jesus. You got to look unto Jesus. You got to look unto Jesus. You want to win? You want to finish? You want to cross the finish line? You want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? You want to be at the king's table? You want to be at his banqueting table? You want to be at the feast, the supper of the Lamb? You want to do all these things that your heart is so passionate toward and excited about? If you want these things and you want to please the Lord, well, I have to be able to look to the Lord. It's imperative. I got to keep my eyes on him. But Jesus says this, you can't see me. I don't care if you think you can, and I don't care if you say you can. You can't see me if there's not holiness in your life. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Well, tell me this then, what's holy? Well, I'll tell you what holy isn't. It's not worldly. In a minute here, for them, not for you and I, in a few weeks for us, he's gonna take the life of Esau and contrast holiness and call him a profane and fornicating person, a worldly, secular man. You think of the world. What's the world like? What's the world like? What's the secular, outside of Christ world like? Think about what it's like. It's backbiting. It's full of gossip. It's full of slander. It's full of drunkenness. It's full of unfaithfulness. It's full of cheaters and liars and stealers. I mean, you know these things. It's the opposite of the Spirit, Galatians 5. It tells you all these works of the flesh. You can go read it on your own. Before the fruits of the Spirit, he says, these are the works of the flesh. These are the things of the world. It's opposite of holy. God is holy. In him is no darkness at all. God is light. You know that he is the definition of light. Before there were light bearers, there were light. And at the end of the age, when the sun and moon is gone, there will still be light in the new Jerusalem because he maketh light. And if he is in you, then light should be radiating through you so that all men can see Jesus. Sir, remember the Greeks in John 12, came to Philip and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus answers in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, only the pure in heart can see the Lord. Here, the writer to the Hebrews says the same gist. You want to see the Lord and you want the Lord to be seen through you, there's got to be holiness, not profanity. There's got to be a cleanliness about your life. We have this cleanliness by grace. We only, you know, obtain this cleanliness, if you would, by and through the grace of God and repentance. But nonetheless, we should be getting cleaner and cleaner in our pursuit of Jesus. Are you? Or are you nasty? Are you double-tongued? Are you contentious? A lot of Christianese out there. A lot of really, you know, catchy posts out there that I see. A lot of jargon getting thrown around, man, about, you know, all sorts of ideologies and quotes about Scripture. Not a ton of Scripture, but quotes about Scripture from a bunch of dead guys. Some good stuff. Or these hipster pastors and what they say about social matters. And well, I see a lot of this stuff, but are we just doing the basics, like following peace and following holiness? Pastor Chuck Smith says this, the best way to follow after holiness is to practice his presence. Because the instinct of man is, all right, Pastor, you want me to follow peace, you want me to follow holiness so I can see God and people can see God in through me. Tell me, give me a list of things I should do and a list of things I can't do. It's like a diet. Tell me what I can eat, tell me what I can't eat, tell me when I should eat, tell me when I shouldn't eat, and I'll be good to go. That's what we want. We're consumers. That's what religion is. Religion's easy. Give me the rules and regulations, Pastor. Well, should I not wear a hat in church? Should I put money in the box? Should I read how many scriptures a day? Just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it, right? That's sort of man's way of thinking. But the love of God and the love relationship that God calls us to is way more demanding than any legal relationship. Love demands way more than legal rules and laws and regulations. God says, I'm not inviting you to religion. I'm inviting you to relationship where because I first loved you, you love me back. And now you don't want to do what hurts my heart and you do want to do what pleases my heart. And when you do what you don't want to do and it hurts my heart, it hurts your heart too. And if you stay there, hardhead, and if you stay there, stiff-necked, if you stay in that place, you're going to go from holy to holy, from grace to grace, strength to strength, cleaner to cleaner. You understand? It's when you sort of just kind of get like calloused and just hard-hearted and indifferent to the impressions and the promptings of the Spirit of God, that's a dangerous place. You can't see God anymore. Isn't that troublesome? I couldn't get past it. This is too deep. I got to follow peace with all men. I got to chase it like a hunt. Sean and I, the last several nights, we chase our puppy around the house like we're on a hunt. He's nuts. He gets out of his crate if we're out, wherever we would be during the day. And we got to, one goes that way, one goes this way. And we got to chase him. I had a stick the other night. I'm trying to, you know, stir him into his crate. I can't catch him. You know, he's just so fast, he slips through, we can't get him, we chase him. Last night, the fireworks were going off in all different parts of our neighborhood. So we're on the deck, and it was wonderful at first, but then there's fireworks over here, then fireworks over there, and then fireworks over there. So what do? We got in the truck, and the kids got in the bed of the truck, perfectly safe and legal, and we just started to drive around the neighborhood, and what are we doing? We're chasing the fireworks. We're not aggressive. It's not a chase where it's a thing of like, I'm going to hunt you down and do something. It's a chase like, I'm after it. Nothing's getting in my way. I want my kids to see the fireworks. I want to grab my dog and put him where he needs to be. There's a chase. I can't let anything detour me. That's your chase this week. Chase peace. Just keep asking yourself. If you can't remember what I already said, write it down. What makes peace? Love, kindness, goodness, come on, gentleness. I mean, these are the things that make for peace. And if you say, I can't remember all that, then the greatest of these is love. Just love. Love people. Love people. Love people. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Should I post this? Listen, if you're serious about Jesus, it will work. I'll tell you that. Because I'm somebody who experiences these things and I'm saying to you, I didn't read out of a book. It's like this. I have text typed up sometimes and I feel the Holy Spirit say strong to me. You should not hit send right now. You better just delete that. Just don't even send it. I don't really post. I'm not on Facebook. It's a stumbling block to me. But if I'm going to put something on Instagram or if I'm going to tweet or twit or whatever you want to call it, I got to say, God, is this, you know, I mean, this could be a thing that is really going to, it's going to stumble people. It's going to rub people wrong. I feel like it's vogue right now to do that. Like I'm going to put something that's sexy and just sort of like risque on social, I'm going to get a response up here. I'm going to entice it. That is not a shepherd, man. Read your Bibles. These are the guys that have like a million followers. I'm going to put something on that I know that a lot of people don't agree about. I'm going to want to be a war. And then I'm going to be sarcastic in my responses if I respond. And I'm going to leave the bride of Christ in a fight and I'm going to back up and I'm going to watch it and I'll let the world watch it. And then if I jump in, I'm going to get somebody real good with something. I'm going to back off again. I'm going to put something on my backdrop that totally stumbles so many people because it's vogue. Or I'm going to go like this. Always, only Jesus. My platform is to exalt always, only Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You understand what I'm saying? I got to reel it in. I'm responsible for the local body here. I got to reel it in. I don't care. Thank God I've never cared what people think. And I especially don't care what people think when it comes to the teaching of God's word. I want to exegete as best as I can and pull out Jesus and keep text in context and give him to the bride. And I want to teach. That's all I want to do. I just want to tell you what God says. I try to keep my personality out of it. I try to keep my thoughts and opinions out of it. And when they slip through, I try to say, that's my opinion. That's just one of my thoughts. Don't get it twisted. It's not the word of God. Listen, this morning I'm saying this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't gotta wonder. I don't have to do any of that. I could just know this. Okay, I study language and tenses. Okay, this is a present imperative. The word is aggressive in the Greek. It's you go hunt, you go chase after peace and holiness. Holiness bridles peace that is ungodly. So if the peace is starting to get compromised, listen, in order to have it, the Holy Spirit says, oh, no. Holiness takes preeminence. But in your pursuit of the peace, you pursue holiness too, so that you can see God and others can see God in and through you. Because Christ-likeness, write it down. Christ-likeness, write this down. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is the greatest witness to that lost world. Christ-likeness. Sir. Remember it? Sir. We would see Jesus. Philip goes and tells Andrew. They go to Jesus. And what did he say? What did he say? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Can I say something new in my closing remarks? How dare we? How audacious and arrogant of us. How dare we step between that cross and a person's view? Jesus said, oh, I want all men to see me. The Gentiles, Greeks, the Jews hated Gentiles. They thought the Gentiles were created to fuel the flames of hell. Jesus goes like this, I want them to see me. But for Greeks to see me, and for Jews to see me, and for church people to see me, and unchurched people to see me, and for black people to see me, and for white people to see me, and for brown people to see me, and yellow people like me to see him, right? If we're gonna see him, he says there's only one way to really see me, and it is high and lifted up, and then I, by the power of my spirit, will draw all men. The language of Hebrews 12, you see it? The Bible is the best commentary of the Bible. You see what's going on? I will draw all men unto myself. ... Get out of the way, Christian. Get out of the way. Put your pride aside. Your own thinking aside. Listen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.